In the meantime, some things I'd like for you all to know that I think might be helpful are, one, there are Christmas trees in the back of this room and in the narthex area over by the sanctuary. There's a church called St. Paul United Methodist. It's a kind of a mission site down in the east side of Dayton. And we're going to help some folks there celebrate Christmas. If you'd like to, the idea is you take one of the ornaments off and then buy whatever gift that is. They need to be in next Sunday so that we can get them to the folks that need them by Christmas. Also, there are some people for whom the Christmas season, it makes me sick, by the way, that I'm talking about Christmas right now, but that's the way it is, for whom the Christmas season is not entirely joyous. And to help to understand a little bit deeper the meaning of Christmas, there's going to be a Blue Christmas celebration on December 3rd that the Stephen Ministry Program is helping to coordinate. That'll be at 6:30. And another thing I kind of wanted you to know is that there's a lady named Anne Wolf around who likes knitting. She's been knitting scarves, and the youth group is going to help her hang those down at Shawnee Park as a fundraiser. And so if you'd like to know more about that, there's a note in the bulletin. What I really wanted to do is share with you from the Gospel according to Matthew. These words come from the 13th chapter. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did all of these weeds come from?" And he answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and to gather the weeds and uproot?" And he said, "No, don't gather the weeds because you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let the two grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first, bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." And then he left the crowds and went into the house. As his disciples approached him, they said to him, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And he answered, saying, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. And just as the weeds are collected and burned up with the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Let anyone with ears listen." We've been doing a series on following the Donovan family to reimagine what it looks like to be generous. And today we come to the very end of this series. And so I'd like to invite you to join together in, I think it will be helpful for you to know that Frank's wife, just in the last episode of this, was mugged. And that's why she's in bandages. And let's see where he goes this time.
But our top story this morning is, of course, Wall Street, as the market has been hammered since the opening bell. After a brief bounce, things are continuing to head south, leaving many wondering where the bottom will be.
Alan, today is not the day to have trouble getting hold of you. Please give me a call back as soon as you get this. Hey, how you feeling?
Hungry.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
I think so. Let me get something in a little bit. Where are you going?
Ray's asked me to go down to the soup kitchen for a little bit to help out, and then I have got to run by the office and take care of some business.
You and the kids have been down there quite a bit lately, haven't you?
Look, no one's going to blame you if you don't want to go back.
No, I think it's great. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone again.
Okay. Love you.
Love you.
Hey, remind me that I need to discuss some things with you when I get back, all right?
Sure.
Stock market killing me today.
Oh, yeah, man. My 4167K is taking a beating.
I know that's true.
What's the problem?
Hey, sorry I'm late, Ray. What's all this?
It's a beautiful day, Mr. Dollar. Can you feel the sunlight just streaming in?
You mean the sunlight coming through those holes in the ceiling?
But not for long. Those grants we applied for came through. This place is getting new life.
Oh, that is excellent news, Ray. You guys deserve this.
That's not even the best part. Those men there are from Somerset Construction. I don't know if they're getting some kind of matching dollars or what, but they're looking to hire as many folk from the kitchen as possible for the labor, even offering training for certain positions.
Well, let me know if they have room for a volunteer. I got a hammer. At least I think I got a hammer.
That market stuff that everybody's talking about, how does that affect me?
Ray, I'm sorry, I gotta take this. It's urgent. Alan. Hey. Yeah, it's urgent. Okay, can you come by the house a little bit later? Perfect. I'll talk to you then.
The general consensus seems to be relieved that the day is over. The fear now is that the Asian markets will respond too strongly to the sell-off, which could trigger it.
Hey.
Hey. By the way, I've called Alan to come over here for a meeting. He's going to come over a little bit later. There's some things that I want to go over with you first. Make sure we're on the same page.
Okay.
Your accident made a big impact on me. I remember sitting there, just staring at you, waiting for you to recover. I was powerless. I remember thinking to myself, everything that I tried to do to protect this family, everything. And you know what? It just felt silly. Ray mentioned something the other day. We were talking about the parable of the talents and how out of all the three servants who were asked to look over their master's money, the only one who was rebuked was the one who had buried the money and then returned it the same way he received it. The one that played it safe. I want to take risks. If God owns everything and we're willing to risk it all for him and it doesn't work out, well, it's just like moving money from one of his pockets to the other. It might mean a lot of changes, and that's why I have Alan coming over. So what do you think?
I think Ray's the best gardener we've ever had. So how does all this market stuff going on affect what you've been thinking?
What market stuff? Hey, Ray.
I'm Mr. Donald. How you doing?
Good.
I just came by to reseed a couple of patches in the yard, and I want to give you a little present, in case you couldn't find yours.
Wow, this is a beauty. You swing that in, right?
Right.
How are things going down there?
You know, right after you left this morning, we got a call, said that there were holes in the grant application, and they wouldn't even review it until we corrected it.
Government.
Yeah, right. I was trying to figure out how Somerset Construction could already be on site and have reviewed the grant application.
I don't know. I guess you'll have to ask them.
Well, that's the thing I did. No one who doesn't know anything about any grants.
Strange. Hey, I got a family meeting, so I got to run to.
Yeah, right. One thing I want to ask, doesn't your company own Somerset?
Gosh, Ray, I got so much stuff on the plate right now, I really don't want to talk business.
Yeah, I understand.
Thanks for the hammer, Ray.
You're welcome, Mr. Donald.
Sorry about that, Alan. You were saying?
So, I know how important security is to you, so I've prepared some ideas to fortify your portfolio in light of today's events.
Maybe I wasn't that clear with you earlier today, Alan. We actually had some of our own ideas as a family.
Okay. Sure.
Our goal is to increase liquidity across all areas. We want to start by dismantling our...
Intentionally.
Defective. Grand Montrose.
We'd like to have that charity discussion you suggested the other day.
So what do you think? Can you help us out?
Wasn't that good? Before I go any further, I ought to probably back up just a little bit and say this is a season of Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving. Someday, one of the people that I would love to meet is the guy who decided to put those two words together, thanks and giving. Because it really is genius, isn't it? The idea that gratitude and generosity go hand in hand, that our gratitude is not complete until we share it with somebody else. And so it's no mistake that today is the day that we come to the end of a journey of talking about what it means to reimagine generosity. If you remember, on the first week we met Frank, who realized that he had a very long way to go, and Ray challenged him to see that we can give God either stinky sheep or healthy sheep. And it really was a challenge to us to ask, are we giving God our first and our best? And then the second week, Frank had a dream that he was on trial and that his money and his giving were testifying on his behalf. And we learned that you can't serve both God and money. And we asked the question, which one are you serving, God or money? The third week, we talked about spoons and ladles, and we learned that spoons are used to feed ourselves and ladles are used to feed others. And asked the question, which one are you? Are you more of a spoon or more of a ladle? Last week, Frank's wife got mugged, and we learned that times of crisis often are like being in a tower. And they give us the chance to look at our world from a different perspective. And we asked the question, how deep is your trust in the Lord? Today's theme is seed time. The clip that we just saw, Ray, who is the gardener, tells Frank that generous living is about more than just writing checks. Frank seems to have quietly arranged to get a construction company to make some improvements in the soup kitchen, and not only are they fixing things up, but they're also hiring people from the soup kitchen to do the work there. This is one of the things that happens when we move from seeing people as a group of poor people to seeing them as individuals who are also blessed by God. We realize that we are all more the same than we are different. We are all beggars looking for a handout. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. No discussion about seed time would be complete without talking about a passage that appears in Galatians in the 6th chapter. There it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what they sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." And then goes on to say, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up." This morning I'd like to ask you to plant some seeds by setting some faith goals. Many of you should have gotten a card in the mail this week, and I know that some of you probably have it still sitting on the counter at home, or some of you may not have gotten the letter. Jamie, will you help me out with this? Would anybody like one of these cards? Does anybody not have it with them? We have got plenty of them to go around, so I'm hoping everybody can participate in this exercise. I've said that I want this to be prayerful, and so in just a minute I'm going to ask you to say a word of prayer over these cards before I run through a little bit of what's on there. Now, if you would, just join me in a word of prayer. If you got one, let's put our hand on it and say a word of prayer. Dear Lord, these cards are just paper, but they represent so much more. They represent our desire to set goals to love and serve you as you have loved us. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Harvard University did a study of goals, and here's what they found. They found everybody sets goals. Smart people at Harvard, huh? And then they went on to note that people who write their goals down tend to be 3 times more likely to actually accomplish those goals. John Wesley said that God offers us grace, but there are some things that are means to grace, that make us more open to receive the grace that God has to offer. He called these spiritual disciplines or means of grace. The faith goals that we commit to are really a commitment to some of those spiritual disciplines that Wesley considered to be means of grace. This card, for example, asks the question, will you commit to pray for the church, others, and ourselves daily? It's not that our prayers are going to change our faith community, but our prayers make us open to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can change the world. The Faith Goal card asks you, will you commit to attend worship? If you're coming once a month, will you commit to work towards coming twice a month? If you're coming twice a month, will you commit towards working towards three times a month? If you're coming regularly, will you commit to working to find ways of helping somebody else to be a part of church? It's not that being in attendance in worship is going to get you into heaven, but it gives you the opportunity to hear the word, and the word is like a light, and the light is what can show us the way into heaven. It asks you, will you commit to give financially? The way that we spend our money is one small way that we can show our trust in the Lord. It also asks you, how much will you commit in an hour's way to serving the church and the community? The only way we can help another person is by getting to know them. Will you serve alongside of somebody else? And lastly, the Faith Goal card asks you whether you will witness to others in the way that you live and show Christ's love. Only God can change a person's heart. You can't do that, but you can tell them how Christ has changed your heart. All right, after you fill this out, I'm going to ask you to put it in an envelope. Jamie, I think I'm going to need your help again here. You may want to enlist somebody else's help in this too. I'm going to ask you to put it in an envelope and then seal the envelope. And then I'm going to ask you to self-address the envelope. Address it to yourself. Put your own name and address on there. And then a little bit later in the service, what Jamie's going to do is we have got a fish tank up here, and it's got a top that is locked and a slit in the top of the fish tank. I'm going to ask you to come forward and to put those in the fish tank. Nobody else will see them. This is a commitment between you and God. And just to let you know what we're going to do, in a couple of months, we're going to take them out and we're going to put a stamp on them and we're going to send them back to you as a way to remind you of the commitment that you have made. It's been said that those who fail to plan, plan to fail. I can't imagine why anybody would have a reason not to make a goal to be in a relationship with God that's more open to receiving God's grace. And so I hope that everybody will have a chance to participate in this exercise. The economics of the kingdom are simple. What you sow, you also will reap. In the video, Ray is a gardener. He spent his day sowing seed, and so he understands this well. He knows that in giving God our good sheep, and Christ ultimately is the best of sheep, that reflects our love for him. Sowing seeds shows our willingness to take risks to bear fruit in his name. We sow by serving others and being led by the Lord. We invest our time, our gifts, our resources as God sees fit. Just as Jesus is the sower and the seed is the good seed in the kingdom, as Christ followers, we sow our time, our gifts, our resources, as well as sowing the gospel, scattering seed, watering and harvesting in the hearts of our neighbors. By the end of the movie, Frank is beginning to get it. Frank is moving from being selfish to being generous, but there's more that he's learning. Frank is also learning to move from being prideful to being humble. When Ree asked Frank, "Don't you work for the company that owns the construction company that's working on the soup kitchen?" Frank doesn't take the credit. Instead, he wants to keep the work that he's doing quiet. That's an act of humility. It is what Jesus is talking about in the Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter, where he says, "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Jesus made it clear, our giving is not to be a source of attention. Frank wouldn't even fess up to the prying Ray when he saw the wheels that were in motion. In fact, we don't even know if Frank may have been involved in putting some of his own money into the project. Generous living is godly living, and godly living is humble living. All right, another thought. Throughout the film, Frank is trying to get a hold of Alan, his financial planner. Most of the way through it, we assume it's because there has been this dip in the stock market. But then at the end, we learn that no, it's because he wants to make some changes in his planned giving to charities. What if we would see our desire to help others in need as urgently as we see things like dips in the stock market? Galatians 6 says, "Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Are you interested in being urgent with things that are destructive or things that are eternal? It's a simple but important question. This week I have had a reminder of how short our time in this life can be. As many of you know, last Sunday I woke up in Nicaragua and spent most of the day returning back to this part of the world. Through the week, one of the things we did is we studied 1 Corinthians, and so we studied the part where it says you ought to run, not aimlessly, but run as if you had a goal like athletes run, but not to receive a perishable wreath, but an imperishable one. And one of the ways that we shared the gospel message is through a puppet named Jose. This is Jose. Jose was on a mission. You remember Jose? Jan and Linda were with me there, so you can make sure that I got this all right. Jose was on a mission to try to be a friend to God. He was searching for how to be a friend to God. He had heard that God is a fisher of men, and so he thought, fisher of men. He got on some goggles and he went looking for God, looking how to be a friend to God among the fish. But he didn't find how to be a friend to God among the fish. He'd heard that God values even the sparrows in the air. And so he put on some feathers and went looking for God up with the sparrows in the air. Do you think he found how to be a friend to God with the sparrows? No, he didn't find how to be a friend to God with the sparrows. Then he heard that God knows the number of hairs on our head. And so he put on this long blonde wig. And the kids really loved that, to see Jose up there with a long blonde wig. But did the number of hairs on his head change whether he was a friend to God? No. Ultimately, what he learned is the way to be a friend to God is to pray to God. And we invited anybody who didn't feel like they were a friend to God to say a word of prayer. Do you want to do that now? Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for being our friend. You love us. Help us to be your friend. We love you. And help us to show that by the way that we love others. Amen. This is where I've been deciding how far I should go with this. We had one person who was the hand that made Jose speak. We had another person who was the voice that gave Jose words. And then we had another guy who his hands had sticks on them and was the hands of Jose. The guy who was the hands of Jose was a guy by the name of Rick Fair. Rick Fair, if you've ever been to the Cup meal, you may know, is a very tall guy. There's usually two tables right there that he sat at those tables. Most of the crew came back on Sunday. There were Rick and seven other people that stayed over on Monday. On Monday, he was at a resort enjoying a couple days of free time and swimming in the ocean, and he went down. We now believe what he had was a massive heart attack. There was a nurse and a doctor there almost immediately. They did CPR on him for about half an hour, but he couldn't be revived. We lost one of the good ones. What it's been for me is a reminder that we may not have tomorrow. We don't know whether we will have a tomorrow to love and to serve God. And so our need to serve him now, to plant those seeds, is all the more urgent. There may not be a tomorrow to be generous with our resources. It's been a reminder for me that none of us know when our day will come. There may not be a tomorrow. Life is too short for hatred and meanness and selfishness. The time to open our hearts to love the Lord by serving others is now. Paul said to the church in Corinth, our church today also, to turn our gaze to eternal things. Frank and Ree also have something to say about that. They say that prayerful, risk-taking stewardship will result in a bountiful harvest that will be revealed when Christ returns. Matthew Henry, in a commentary on these scriptures, says, our present time is seed time. Frank's journey isn't over. In fact, we could say that it's just begun, and so it is also with us. Our journey's just begun. We have learned some of the keys to our journey of being generous in our living. We apply them as we work and walk together on this journey. Our takeaway for this week, I'm hoping, is ask yourself, with the Holy Spirit's help, have you been putting off something that God wants you to do? Now is the time. Now is seed time. When we get to heaven, I think there's two questions we'll be asked. One is, what have you done with Jesus? If Jesus is the good sheep, how have you been offering him in a way that reflects our gratitude and our understanding of what he did for us? And secondly, what have you done with what he has given us? Now is the seed time. The harvest is coming, but it will not be a harvest unless we sow something. John 15:8 says, "My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." And as we've already mentioned, Galatians 6 says, "God is not mocked. What we sow, we also shall reap." Our sowing is what brings glory to God. Some of you may be here today thinking, what is all this business about seed and fruit and sheep? And here it is in a simple statement. Our God is a God of love. Out of an act of God, love, God chooses to give his love away and has done that in the way that we are created. What God wants most is for us to love him in return, and the way that we do that is by the way that we treat other people. But we don't always do such a good job. We are sinners in need of a Savior, and that's why God sent us Jesus, to show us that we are forgiven, to show us the way back into a relationship with God, and to show us how to live in love. Next Sunday, believe it or not, do you know what next Sunday is? First week in Advent. I can hardly believe it. This year, we're going to be doing a focus on Christmas presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. We're going to be looking at some of the things that we do around the Christmas time and ask, why do we do that? And next Sunday, we're going to look at the question, why do we put out lights? In the meantime, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Happy Thanksgiving. Jamie, it's all yours.